Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Riverfront Red Show. This is episode number 528 of the world's most dangerous podcast, where we will discuss, you better believe it, the Cincinnati Reds, and specifically, the curse of Joey Votto? I don't know. We'll see about that. With me this week is a longtime friend of the program, co-host of my favorite Reds podcast, sorry, Chad, Locked On Reds, my guy, Stephen Offenbaker. How are you, Stephen?
I am great. It's awesome to be here. This is an appearance that's 29 years in the making, and here we are, and I got the better of the Dotson brothers, I guess. So let's go.
Well, you know, I believe that. We were just talking off air about how Chad and the Podfather himself, Bill Lack, have known each other and been talking Reds online for 29 years, Steve said, which is just something I wouldn't wish on anybody.
That's been a lot of fun. I love Bill Lack too. You know, it's funny. I don't think Bill Lack gets enough credit for the amount of influence he's had over the years on the non-Reds owned Reds information and the relationships that are all built. There's this whole game people play about the 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon or whatever in the Reds community. It only takes the 2 steps for most people to get back to Bill Lack. And you know, he played a huge part and what everybody does right now, talking about the Cincinnati Reds.
2 steps to get to Bill Lack, and as many steps as possible getting away from him. No, Bill said he couldn't make it tonight. He was neck deep in March Madness games. We are recording this during some games, so I appreciate you giving me some time. And yeah, I thought no about worries. going live with this one, but I was like, nobody's going to watch this live to talk about all the sad Reds news lately when March Madness is going on. So we're recording this on Thursday evening for a Friday publication. And before we get into the show notes, everyone, please head on over to YouTube or your favorite podcast app, do the likes and the follows and all that good stuff. We appreciate it. It helps us grow. And the biggest shout out to our friends at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy, where you too can join the family for a couple bucks. Those guys make this whole thing possible. All right, Steve, this is the last episode that we are going to record. You'll record like 7 more between now and then, but the last one that we will record before opening day. We are 7 days away today, 6 when this comes out. And usually, this is a time for supreme optimism. Even in the down years, this is typically a time where we're like, hey, forget it all. At least we have real live baseball coming soon. That's not kind of the case today.
No, there's been a big old wet blanket thrown on this whole thing over the course of the last week. And you know, we, Jeff and I over at our show, we get accused of being overly optimistic sometimes, and we kind of stay in that lane. I mean, we'll call the negative where the negative is, and we'll call people out when they need to be called out, but we try to stay positive, and it has been hard to stay positive this week. You know, I need everybody to be bubble wrapped and shipped with care to Cincinnati right now. Let's just stop playing spring training games. Everybody's ready enough. Let's just go get out of Goodyear.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It has been tough. Obviously, we're talking about all of the recent injury news. I don't know. So I've been asking this question to everybody when we get started. And I want to, I guess, ask you a little two-parter. Before the last week, what was your enthusiasm level compared to years past? And then what is it now after the last couple of days?
This was the most excited I have been heading into a season since 1991, when they were coming off a World Series championship. I had very high hopes for this team to not only win the National League Central, but to make a deep playoff run. I really believe this team was built to compete in that way. Now, I'm hoping to remain in it enough to get people back to still maybe win the division. But my gung-ho-ness has been tamped down just a little bit.
Yeah, same here. You guys are typically, like you said, on the more optimistic side. I don't think the Riverfront gets that reputation. We meet in the middle at trying to be honest and tell it like it is. But it's been impossible to dampen the optimism up until about a week ago. Every podcast has been more and more excited. The young guys keep looking good. You know, spring training stats don't matter, but there have been encouraging things to see. And then everything just starts breaking all at once. So let's kind of just run down how this has gone. I'll ask you a few questions along the way just to you know, get your thoughts. So I feel like the first domino was the Noelvi Marte news. Of course, talking about him being suspended for 80 games plus the playoffs, which is the saddest part for me, for a performance-enhancing drugs violation. And I don't know about you. Actually, I do know if you listen to your podcast, but like, we were both super high on this kid. We expect a big, big year from him. And it was a pretty tough blow, but Nick Kroll put together a deep sort of positionless interchangeable roster. So I was, okay, this team's going to be fine. When you heard that Marte news, what was your first reaction?
I was pissed. Injuries are a thing, right? Injuries happen. And in sport, with these athletes, the way they push themselves, injuries happen. Noelvi Marte was a completely avoidable, completely preventable situation. These teams, the Major League Baseball teams, that is, go out of their way to make sure that players know what they can and cannot use, what they can and cannot put into their bodies. And there is a whole person in charge that you can go to if you're a player for the Cincinnati Reds and say, I want to take this thing. And they will tell you yes or no. Additionally, what Marte has been linked with using, allegedly, I guess, I don't know, whatever words we got to throw. Where's the lawyer? Where's Dotson? but allegedly, this is an injectable. So that didn't happen by accident. He didn't fall on a needle, folks. So he made a choice. He was trying to get back. He was trying to come off this hamstring. And I think, you know, he was trying to gain an edge and get back as quickly as possible. He was going to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. And he deprived his team and failed to meet his obligations and let everybody down. And I'm mad about that one. The injuries, you know, they hurt, but I can accept this one. This is all on Noelvi Marte. And I hope that he learns from this and comes back a better player and a better person and makes amends, you know, not only with the Reds fans. I mean, we're last on that list. He owes his teammate.
Yes.
Tremendous amount of apologies.
Yeah, I think so. Especially considering how things have continued to play out. I will say he's, 22 years old, so we all did dumb stuff, but you're right. This was, even if he was told it was fine, if you're taking a needle and putting it inside your body, this is a good advice for anybody out there. Stop and ask what's in it. Go figure it out. Talk to somebody in charge. But either way, that news stunk, but I was like, okay, this team is built to withstand something like this. Then we learn that TJ Friedl is out for a while. You know, TJ and his 3.8 wins above replacement last season, his gold glove caliber defense, yikes. So TJ has a wrist fracture, and a lot of people are getting all rosy and say, oh, he'll be back in 3 to 4 weeks.
Nope.
That's not the case.
They're going to set a timeline in 3 to 4 weeks. That's when they're going to decide how long it's going to be, folks. It's going to be mid-June before we see TJ Friedl.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. If you had any idea
it's going to be mid-June. And any one of these taken in isolation, the Reds were built to survive through it, but we've reached a tipping point, I think. And the TJ Friedl injury is another one that, I mean, injuries happen, and I guess I can't fault TJ for playing hard, but I still want to fault TJ a little bit because you have no business diving for a ball in Goodyear, Arizona on March 10th or whatever day it was. Let that ball drop. It's going to be okay. No one is coming to take your job away from you. As you say, 3.8 wins above replacement last year. He was secure in being a starter on this team. Let that ball drop, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I assume that they can't turn that switch off. You got to be some sort of competitor to get to that level. But I hope that this is a wake-up call for the future, that if you can flip that switch, please keep it off until April starts.
Mm-hmm,
we just don't need that. But this one hurt particularly because I've been beating the death drum all offseason. This team is so deep that they can give guys rest days once a week. It's no problem. But it turns out it was kind of only infield depth.
Yes.
And this is precisely when I remembered that every single Reds fan clamored for Nick Kroll in the front office to bring in some more outfield options. I pushed that to the back of my mind. I was definitely clamoring for it, but I was getting so excited about the guys we did have. I didn't stop. I mean, you missed the forest for the trees or whatever. And TJ Friedl goes down, and we don't really have a serviceable center fielder. Stuart Fairchild is an okay baseball player. He is okay. He's at below average unless he figured something out this offseason. And that's not an answer. What are we saying?
And, you know, the thing with TJ Friedl is timing, man. Timing is so frustrating because that injury to Friedl came at the end of the week where the viable signings, Adam Duvall had just re-signed with Atlanta. So he was off the board. Michael A. Taylor had just come off the board. And now there's nothing left. It's Tommy Pham. You know, we're going to get some commissioner slapped. If they're going to go out and sign somebody, it's going to be the head slapper himself. And it looks like he might go to San Diego on a late contract. So you're right. You look around that outfield. You know, I got to find a better way to say this. I struggle with this all the time because it sounds very football, right? But you look around that room, right? All the outfielders get together and figure out, you know, how to study together or whatever. There's not a lot of guys left in that room, and all of them are left-handed. I don't know what you're going to do out there.
Yeah, it's not exciting. We are going to find out real quick, I guess, if Will Benson can hit left-handers. Unfortunately, that's going to be happening in real time. I hope he does. We'll see. I think it makes the waiving, the releasing of Jose Barrero, putting him on waivers, a little more confusing. Not to say I think that Jose Barrero is going to move the needle for this team, but the timing of it all, why subject him to waivers 3 weeks before the season starts when you know something like this could happen?
Yeah, in hindsight, right? Hindsight is, you know, it's always 2020, but I, you know, Jeff questioned it when it happened and I was a little less worked up about it, but now in hindsight, it'd be great if Jose Barrero was still around. Let me throw this at you on the outfield thoughts, because this is something that I'm going to be talking about heading into opening day. I think I would rather they put Blake Dunn on the active roster to start the season,
all right,
and let him take his hacks for the first 6 weeks of the season and see if he can figure out major league pitching. I have more faith in that than I do that Will Benson or Jake Fraley are suddenly going to be able to hit left-handed pitching.
You know, I am completely in support of this idea. I hear a lot of people say, oh, you can't just take somebody from double A to the majors. And I agree that that might not always be the best course. It rarely is. But you see the Braves and the Dodgers do that kind of thing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty good baseball franchises. Whether or not it's the best course for the Reds or for Blake Dunn, I don't know. But they might not have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Dunn is that right-handed bat. He is enough of an athlete to at least play the position. And who else are you going to run out there? I mean, he has to be better than.
I just can't imagine that putting him out there against left-handed pitching is worse than putting either of Fraley or Benson out there every day against left-handed pitching. I can't see how it comes out worse. It might come out the same, but it's not going to come out worse.
And if it's just a stopgap for a couple months, you wait till TJ Friedl comes back, you move him back down. He's got some valuable major league experience and he's an older prospect anyway. You know, this could be, you know, sort of serendipitous timing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about the Jose Barrero situation. Is Blake Dunn going to be worse than Jose Barrero has been, probably will be? I don't think so. I'll always have a little special place in my heart for Jose Barrero. I want him to succeed so bad. He just looks like a ball player out there.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like a ball player who can't hit an off-speed pitch, unfortunately.
It is a true story.
So I agree completely. Bring Blake Dunn up. So the Friedl news happens. That's pretty deflating. We can all agree on that. But I'm looking up and down the lineup. I see some holes now where before I didn't see many holes. I saw some, you know, plateaus, but no real holes. Now there's a couple, but it's still a really, really good lineup that they're going to trot out every day. You've got some serious hitting ability in at least 7 of the 9 spots. But we have to keep going. Go ahead.
Before the last injury that we're going to get to happened, the lineup still was fine. I mean, if the last injury hadn't happened, the opening day lineup, the starting lineup opening day could have been India leading off at DH, followed by EDLC at shortstop, Matt McClain at second, CES at first, Steer in left, Candelario at third, Fraley in right, Stevenson at catcher, Benson in center field. That's a formidable lineup.
You don't have to look.
Now there's no depth. Yeah, you don't. There's no depth there after it. So the bench would have been Fairchild, Maley, Martini, and Ford. God help us. But the starting lineup against a right-handed pitcher was going to be fine. They were going to score runs.
Yeah, I could see every one of those guys you just mentioned. You don't have to squint hard to see every one of those having an OPS plus above 100. Yeah. Some of them well above. So even though we lost TJ Friedel, our leadoff man, best defender in the outfield, I was still optimistic. I'm still having fun. We know we're getting him back in a couple months. We think we're getting him back in a couple months. All right. Hang on, let's let the excitement reign supreme for now. Well, then we get a little more news. It's Brandon Williamson's turn on the IL. Brandon Williamson is going to begin the season on the 15th day with shoulder soreness. A little bit worrisome because he attributed, I don't remember who he was in an interview with, but he said the reasons for his struggles in the minors a couple of years ago were due to a shoulder issue. Mm-hmm. So you hope that's not the case again because he was downright bad when he first got to Louisville. But in the meantime, he was fighting for that fourth or fifth spot in the rotation, even though I think most folks expected him to start the year in Louisville, even though he had a strong end to the 2023 season. You hate to lose that depth because that's one of the most exciting things about this team was how the starting rotation could be 7 or 8 players deep. You know, they've got the Nick Martinez. In fact, I would say this is exactly why Nick Martinez was signed to come in and pitch in these moments. So we're sad we lose Brandon Williamson, but I don't think it was a huge needle mover as far as expectations for the long-term viability of this team as a playoff contender. What are your thoughts on Williamson's injury?
Yeah, I was one of the guys that had him starting the season in AAA, not because I think that's where he should have started. For whatever reason, the Reds have never really been as all-in on Brandon Williamson as others. And you know, obviously they have more information than the rest of us. There may be reasons for that, but you know, I thought he did tremendous job last year. He was the prospect that I hit on exactly in that I didn't think what we were going to get at the majors could be accurately judged by what we saw in Louisville. I thought that he would come up and he would struggle at times, but by being in the big league rotation and working with Derek Johnson on a regular basis, he would get better and better and better. And that's what happened. I think he was always going to be depth. He's probably the 6th or 7th, maybe even the 8th guy now, you know, in this starting pitcher hodgepodge. And we just have to hope that the shoulder is really just truly a little soreness from firing it back up. He takes 2 weeks off, goes to Louisville, and he's your insurance next man up. But I don't think his particular injury right now, I don't think that that's a blow to the Reds or changes any of my thoughts about how the Reds were going to compete, because I wasn't counting on him to be anything other than depth down in Louisville.
Yeah. I will say that you are 100% correct. When I was listening to your podcast, be like, Steve's crazy. There's no business Brandon Williamson needs to be in the major leagues right now. He is a disaster in Louisville. This is madness. What are we doing? The team's playing well. And then he comes up and he was serviceable for his first couple starts. Mm-hmm. Hit a small rough patch, but he was never terrible. And then he was really, really strong for his last 10 or 12 starts. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the reason the Reds aren't as high on, or don't seem to be as high on him, is because he wasn't one of their own. You know, they haven't been looking at him long. He was brought over in the, was it the Castillo trade or the Winker Gino Suarez trade?
I think that was the Winker trade. I'd have to look it up.
Definitely the Mariners. Can't confirm it was the Mariners. But he was downright good the latter third of the season, and having that kind of guy in Louisville as opposed to the Connor Overtons and the Luis Cessas, who were actually in Cincinnati last year, was one of the reasons we were all so excited. But you're right. Didn't move the needle. I didn't like it. I'm starting to see a little bit of a trend. Too many injuries piling up, but this one doesn't make me lose sleep at night. And then, Steve, the real dagger to the heart of Reds fans. We have learned in the last couple days that Matt McClain, well, first we learned that Matt McClain is kind of, sort of, maybe hurt. Maybe not super hurt. Maybe just
precautionary scratch.
Yeah, just some soreness. Couple days rest. He's going to be fine. Classic David Bell. Maybe next time, Manager Bell, just don't say anything. Or, you know, the truth. Because, oh, wait. Matt McClain is super duper hurt. Yeah, we still don't know a ton. He's getting a second opinion. We know that he had an MRI that found something. But the Reds are being typically tight-lipped. I think it came out, I saw on Twitter not long before we hopped on here, that he is going to see an orthopedic surgeon in Los Angeles for his second opinion. I don't take that as a very good sign.
No, you don't go get a second opinion when the doctor says, you're great, go play. I want a second opinion. You know, you don't do that then. You do that when someone's like, yeah, we need to cut on you. So I'm super concerned about this. And you're right. The Reds are being very tight-lipped, very cryptic. Also, the second opinion is not scheduled yet. It's going to happen.
Yes.
There's no schedule for it yet. And for me, that is damning. That is, he's going to be out for a while. Because whatever it is like, it's jacked up and it's going to have to be fixed. And we can take our time and figure out how we're going to fix it. That's all bad news all the way across the board.
Yeah.
There's no way to squint or look sideways. Listen, I'm told that on this show, hope can be a strategy. That's not even a strategy right now. We can't even use hope right now. It's Matt McClain is going to be out for a while.
Yeah, if you're the religious sort, send all the prayers because none of the signs are looking good. We know for sure he won't start the season on time. We know that surgery is on the table, though not confirmed that it's happening yet. And we know that any hopes of the Reds running away, emphasis on those words, running away with the NL Central have been greatly diminished. So my question to you is, first off, I guess, how did you feel when you first heard the news? And then how big of a loss is this, even if he's available to come back for the last month or two?
This is huge. This is the, so you've gone through this really well. You've set the table, you've gone through the progressions, and up until we got to this one, like I was saying, I was fine because that right-handed lineup was formidable that I read to you. And you take, you know, Matt McClain was going to be the engine that drove this thing. You know, put him in the second or third spot in this lineup. He's got that sneaky power. He's going to be able to drive guys in front of him. He's going to be able to bring Ellie around first from first base to score on many occasions. And you take all that away. And then you look at this bench and there's not a next man up there. It's going to now derail all of the plans that they put in place and have been working on out in Goodyear. So Jonathan India in the outfield, probably not. Jonathan India is going to be right back in his spot at second base the majority of the time. Where but that also means
not a outfield
is not a good defender. But it also means that outfield that you talked about that was thin already, that was going to try and get by with bubblegum and Band-Aids, is missing another piece. And it just all dominoes from there. So you take away Noelvi, who was the extra depth. Now you take away Matt McClain. Now they don't have extra infield depth at all, and they have zero margin for error in the outfield. One guy dives during a game or crashes into the wall, and there are big problems. David Bell's going to have to play right field. I don't know what they're going to do. So it's problematic. This one, this injury, this McClain's injury, I think, is the injury that was that wet blanket that I was talking about, was the one that made me think, you know, they're really going to have to scrap for it now. Whereas I really thought everybody was going to be looking at them running away. This problem.
Yeah, the t-shirt you're wearing sums my feelings up perfectly in a different context. They're all negative. It's not great. Yes. You know, if you look back at last season, the Reds were not a terribly good team until Matt McClain came up. You call him the cog in the wheel, the spark in the engine. The Reds tailed off at the end of the season when Matt McClain went out. I don't think here in a couple of years, it's entirely possible that we will, but I don't expect that he will be the best player on the Cincinnati Reds every year for the next several. But there was a real chance he was going to be in 2024. And we're talking about a team that we expected to win the division, to be the best player on a division winner, and then to not only not have that for at least a few months, potentially, and in my opinion, my very unprofessional opinion, in all likelihood, the rest of the season. That's a tough blow. It is a tough, tough blow. Now, we have lost roughly 10 wins above replacement off last year's team. And that only includes 34 Noelvi Marte games. So
they've lost 33% of the starting lineup.
Yep.
You know, they're going to be, you know, 66% of the team they were supposed to be. And I mean, the pitching is better. The bullpen is better. I don't know, man. That's a lot. That is a big drop off from where they were supposed to be.
It's a lot. You know, can they replace that production? Well, they did it a little bit. They tried something that we'll get to in just a second. I guess, do you think they still have enough in the tank to make a run at the playoffs?
So that forces you to take a look at the rest of the division, right? And the Cubs made moves, but when you boil it down and you look at the Cubs of 2023 and the Cubs of 2024, it's kind of the same Cubs. Bellinger is back. They swapped out and they brought Yamamoto in, but he basically just is a one-for-one swap with Stroman. Kind of, you think, is going to be similar in performance. That they're all the same. They've got some young players that maybe they'll hit, maybe they won't. We just don't know. And then, you know, you bring in Craig Counsell to try and like gel it all together and put it all together. Craig Counsell, I think, is best manager in baseball. Or at least one of the best managers in baseball. But at the end of the day, he's not taking any at-bats. He's not playing. Yeah. So Cubs will be decent, you know, an 80 to 85 win team. The Cardinals are as overrated as they ever were and ever are. You know, they're all 100 years old. And if Centrum Silver is not their shoulder patch this year, someone missed a true opportunity for a sponsorship deal. I'm hearing rumors out of St. Louis that they're going to start every game at 1 o'clock. So the team bus can go straight to an early bird special somewhere. They're going to go straight to the Blue Hairs right after the game.
To the Ponderosa. Let's go.
They're doing it, man. It's sizzler or bust for these guys. But, you know, they went out and signed guys that are names that people know for the casual everyday fan. But they're all guys that are well into their decline phase. Nobody knows if Arenado's going to bounce back from a really bad year. Nobody knows how much does Goldschmidt have left in the tank. You know, I love Sonny Gray, but Sonny Gray is older and injury prone, and that rotation's kind of a mess. So the Cardinals are not going from last place to first place.
Your words to God's ears.
Right. The Brewers are already kind of sort of maybe blowing it up between trading away Burns and now the injury to what they did have left in the starting rotation. I would not be shocked at all if they start selling parts off to rebuild next year. So the Brewers, not in the mix. You get the Pirates, who are scrappy, but the Pirates are the Pirates. And I mean, they might win April. I don't know that they're going to win any more than that. So
yeah, they'll start printing World Series tickets off by the end of April.
Right. The division is still very winnable. But I think that deep playoff run that I had kind of had my heart set on could really be in jeopardy, because even if you get some of these guys back, and Friedel will be back, but I don't know that McClain's going to be back. I don't know that I would bring Noelvi Marte back, even when he's eligible. Can't play in the playoffs. Save his service time, save his rookie eligibility, and try again in 2025, maybe, with Noelvi Marte. I don't know. Depends on how many games back they are when he's ready to play.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, I mean, they can still win the division, Nate. I just don't know that. It might be another one of those disappointing, well, congratulations for making the playoffs, but you're already eliminated.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I have recalibrated my expectations. I was full aboard, all aboard the NL Central champion train with the anything can happen magic once you get there, because I thought they have a lineup that can be a lot of fun to watch in October. That could still be the case. Now I am certainly leaning towards, hey, Let's just hope they make a run at the playoffs. I don't take that lightly, even with expanded playoffs. I say it on here, I think, every episode. Six times in my entire life have they made the playoffs. I will take a couple more appearances in October. But what it's going to take is some steps forward from pretty much everybody on the offensive side. And then that bullpen is going to need to be locked down. I really think that the bullpen can be a huge, huge, huge strength for this team and be a luxury that the team, that the Reds haven't had in a long time. And if we get some steps forward from this rotation, then suddenly, instead of us having those fun, entertaining 7-4 games that we were hoping to watch all season long, I saw Jeff's bold prediction about the total run scored. Instead of that, I think we'd be hoping for a lot of 4-3-3-2 kind of wins on the back of this, not just starting rotation with bullpen also. So I think if there is going to be a path to contention, that's it. Any thoughts on the Reds pitching? Because it's the most healthy.
It's better. It's better, right? I mean, let's look at it for just a second. This rotation, you know, even with Williamson's shoulder thing and not being a part of it, even with Lodolo being a little delayed, but I think Lodolo will be there by the second week of April.
Yeah.
This rotation is so much better than the rotation that they broke camp with in 2023. Gone is Luis Sessa. Gone is Connor Overton. Thank God. Gone is Luke Weaver. And we've replaced those guys with Frankie Montas. We've got Nick Martinez in there who is going to be valuable whether he's in the rotation or in the bullpen. We're going to have a healthy Nick Lodolo back. He looks good. And Jonathan India was just on Jim Day's podcast, you know, and they asked Jonathan India, you know, of the pitchers on the Reds, like, who's the nastiest guy to face? And he said Nick Lodolo. He said that a healthy Nick Lodolo wins a Cy Young. Those were Jonathan India's words. And I want to say that he probably knows what he's talking about. So this rotation, much better. The bullpen played way over its head last year. It was a saving grace of this team and was asked to do way too much. And it's a better bullpen this year. They upgraded, you know, bringing in Nick Martinez, bringing in Emilio Pagan, bringing in Brett Suter. Like, those are great adds. They're going to have three lefties. Justin Wilson's in this pen is the third lefty behind Sam Moll and Brett Suter. It's a good bullpen. And I think that you're right. They're going to have to carry the load.
Yeah, and I'm actually excited to watch a lot of these games, especially early in the year when the starters aren't expected to go as long or don't typically do. I think for the first time in a long time, getting into this bullpen is going to be fun for Reds fans instead of terrifying. I mean, they are going to send a healthy TJ Antone to Louisville to start the season in all likelihood. And we know how good TJ Antone is when he's healthy. And they can afford to have him start out the year in Louisville. That should be exciting for Reds fans if you're looking for something to be excited about right now. But before we let anybody get too excited, Steve, there was a little bit more bad news.
Oh, you're just a killjoy, aren't you? Is this what you do around here?
You
bring in the excited people and smack them around?
It's usually Chad's job, but he needed tonight off. So I'm taking the mantle. Because this one I'm pretty sad about too, and I'll explain why. We learned yesterday, 2 days ago, as people are listening to this, that Reds super prospect Edwin Arroyo will miss all of 2024. He's having surgery for a torn labrum that he suffered while diving back in the freaking first base. Not anything crazy. He just made a normal baseball move, tore his labrum. You know, Arroyo had a really strong spring, and some, including myself, were hypothesizing that he could be in the line for a late season call-up to sort of take that Marte spot. He was playing so well towards the end of last season and all spring that I thought, you know what, he could be fast-tracked a little bit. And with Marte not here and them probably not wanting to give him a ton of valuable at-bats if he can't play in the playoffs and they have a little bit of a cushion, Arroyo could be that next guy up. But instead, he rehabs all year long, and we'll see him again in AA in 2025. So, Steve, now it's official. The dark cloud is hovering. It's hanging out. We've given it a name. This team and its fans are cursed. And my question to you is this the curse of Joey Votto, and how do we reverse it?
we're going to talk about a trade with the Blue Jays here in a few minutes, and that was not the guy they should have been trading for, I guess. I mean, I guess you reversed the curse by bringing him back. I don't know. Joey's got to want to come back. It's true. The timing is something, isn't it? I don't know if we want the curse of Joey Votto. It's like
I don't like having Joey's name and curse being the same.
No, I don't.
Phrase.
No,
I don't like this. We're workshopping the name. Maybe it's the curse of Crawl or the curse of Castellini. I don't know. Right. We got some options there.
No, see, there's something with the Castellini curse, and I know that this particular show has a long, upstanding relationship with the Castellini family. Castellini curse. You know, if ever a hashtag could be created and a show could run with it, it's this show and the hashtag Castellini curse. You could totally run with that, you guys. Us not so much over on my show because with our corporate people would probably not like it if we did that, but. You guys could get away with that over here.
It's also fun having players, you know, sometimes come on your podcast and people with access to the team, whereas you know, we don't get that anymore.
Right.
But yeah, so it's this season is still going to be great. It's still going to be exciting. Opening day in Cincinnati is right around the corner. Should be a citywide holiday. Make it statewide because who cares about Cleveland? There are so many reasons.
It's not even real Ohio.
Exactly. So many reasons to still be excited. All these other guys, we're going to root for them. We love them. But we have to point out how bad it kind of feels right now. We do want to be honest with this thing. And I like your thoughts on this. But a scenario like we're living through right now is precisely why the Reds, in my opinion, should have made a real push at the trade deadline last year. When they were in first place in the NL Central. Instead, Nick Kroll sits in his hands, makes exactly one move for a situational reliever, who I'm a fan of, by the way. And I have been giving Nick Kroll all of the flowers this offseason, these last couple months. Some of the moves were a little bit confusing, I think, but from a fit standpoint. But I've liked each and every player that he brought in, and I know the injuries are unpredictable. But the deflation of expectations... And then I go back a little bit further and realize how close they were to making the playoffs in 2023, when again, six times in my life. It just seems ever more clear to me that they should have done something and not taken for granted the ahead of schedule Reds that we saw in 23. What are your thoughts?
I don't know that I see it through the same lens. And again, this is another hindsight is 2020 thing. We can look back and be like, oh, they should have, but if you think back to some of the things the Reds needed at the time, they needed to go out and get a starting pitcher when all that was going on. And you look at what the market was and you look at what the White Sox are a prime example. You look at what they were asking for Dylan Cease at the deadline versus what they got when they finally traded him just a few weeks ago. They were trying to extort Nick Kroll. And as hard as it was, I think I agree with him taking a step back when the asking prices got crazy. I mean, and realize what in-season moves cost you, especially deadline deals. If you want to ask a team about, was it worth it? Somebody get Minnesota on the phone and ask them about the Tyler Mahle trade and ask them if they feel like they got a good return on their investment, because I guarantee you the answer to that question is no, they did not. Because look at us reaping the benefits in the form of Spencer Steer and CES. It was a robbery. Nick Kroll robbed those guys. And I think I appreciate the fact that he did not allow the same thing to happen to the Reds farm system. Would I have liked for the team to make the playoffs? Yeah. Could they have made some noise in the postseason? We don't know. They're very young and they were tired.
They weren't.
Andrew Abbott ran out of gas. Everybody ran out of gas. Matt McClain was hurt by the end of the year. So they could have done all of that, traded away all the prospect capital, brought in a couple guys, maybe made the playoffs and got their butts kicked in the first round. I mean, I don't know, but you know, I think I respect that he took a step back and didn't play in that particular field of play. But he's going to be challenged now. He's got to do something, because roll with what you got doesn't seem to be the right strategy right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Quick beginning of the season trade, quick signing of somebody that's still lingering out there. I don't know.
Could we see it? I agree to an extent with everything you just said. I think it's all very fair to point out. But in light of not making the playoffs and now not addressing the very, very obvious lack of center field depth and the obvious holes in the outfield, you know, as much praise as I've been giving Nick Kroll for those last several months, I would like to see a little something more, a little something extra right now, a little juice to keep this fan base energized, because Lord knows we deserve it.
No, we do. Right. We've suffered for too long.
Yeah, and we're ready for that to end. All right, so let's get rid of all that. Let's talk about some other news around the league. I want to have a good time in this on a high note. You know, back to giving Nick Kroll some credit. The Reds acquired a guy. Right after the Matt McLain news broke, they acquired Santiago Espinal from the Toronto Blue Jays, who, I don't know, I tend to go look at the other fan bases and see how they feel when a move like this happens, and Toronto fans were sad to lose this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say that I knew a ton about him. I know they got him for minor leaguer Chris McElvain, who I know even less about, and just said his name out loud for the first time. My first reaction was, okay, seems like a good signing. My second reaction was, this probably means that Matt McLain is not coming back anytime soon. But what do you know about this guy the Reds just got?
You know, so he's an all-star in 2022, and that's not even the best season of his career. He had a really hot first half in 2022. He did fall off a little bit in the second half. Finished the season with right at like a 100 league average OPS plus, maybe 99, I think. It was 99. Let me pull it up. But he was an all-star last year. The year before, though, I know that he was a 99 OPS plus in 2022. 2021, 113. He was 13% above league average. His slugging in his slash line in 21 was 311, 376, 405. You know, he's not a game changer, but in a team that suddenly found itself in need of a serviceable infielder, this is about as good as you could hope that a team could do, because it really did not cost them anything. So they gave up a pitcher that, like you say, was not on anybody's list of this guy's coming to by storm to Cincinnati. So this was a great move. And you're also right that you don't have to read these tea leaves very hard when you start putting all these little pieces together to see that this Matt McLain situation is going to be playing out for a while. So, I will not have heartburn seeing this guy in the lineup from time to time. I think that's the most ringing of an endorsement I can give him. It's not like why the hell is Kevin Newman playing again? It's not that thing. It's like, no. Why is Jason Vossler on this team? It's not that thing. This is a valuable piece of a major league constructed team. And I like it.
Yeah, I agree completely. Espinal can play second, third, or short, plays mostly second and third. He grades out as a plus defender at both of those positions. He is a contact-heavy guy, below-average power, and his career batting line is right around league average, .273 hitter, .331 on base, .367 for slugging for his career. He has a couple minor league options. They've got him for a few years, but perhaps most importantly, as this team needs it, he has a career .117 OPS plus against left-handed pitchers, and that's somebody that this team has needed all offseason. So I don't know if this is a needle mover or not, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Maybe they'll Jose Barrero him and stick him out in center field just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they have to give it a try. He should just show up with the hand of a center fielder glove as soon as he gets off the plane. Made some other moves. Let's bring you mentioned this one earlier. They brought back old friend Justin Wilson. That was a $1.5 million deal with up to another million more in incentives. Another lefty. You know, Alex Young is starting out on the injured list. Sam Moll is just now starting to get ramped up. Justin Wilson was a solid, reliable veteran. I don't have a ton more to add to that other than to say, welcome back. I hope you keep being a solid, reliable veteran. Any Justin Wilson thoughts?
It surprised me a little bit just in that it was a major league deal. And like, it was clear when they signed him, he's on the team. You know, he wasn't signed to come and try and make the team. They signed him to be on the team. And it looks like their intention is to keep three lefties in this bullpen, which is a little refreshing, actually, when there's been times we've barely had one lefty on this team that could chuck a ball. Mm-hmm. Alex Young's back situation, you know, I mean, Alex Young, I think, played way over his head last year and was good for a good stretch of time. But I think he was a spare part. He had an option remaining. He was going to be stashed in Louisville. So him being hurt is really not a big deal, I think, in the grand scheme of things. Hopefully he fights his way back, gets healthy, and that's some great insurance. Just even if you bring him up somewhere around July, August for giving somebody a respite with the, tired arm, the sore arm injury that they use sometimes to put a guy on the IL and shut him down for a week. Alex Young could be valuable for that. So Justin Wilson, I like this signing. He's not a back of the bullpen kind of guy, but sixth inning, seventh inning, situational. He's a good pickup.
Yeah, I like it. I got nothing bad to say about it. Again, we are so used to having these just atrocious bullpens that the fact that they're out there late in the season going and getting guys like this, you know, still improving on the margins, it's a good piece of business. The Reds made a few more roster cuts. I guess no real surprises there, so we don't really need to get into it, though. I didn't expect me to be enjoying Mike Ford's season so much. I am always a proponent of the hefty boys. I want to see nine of them trotted out. But it looks like there's a real shot Mike Ford makes the opening day roster to just hopefully mash. I don't know. Lefties, righties, he has reverse splits, I think. So I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, no. So Jeff tried to drop that on me on our last show. And he's throwing these numbers at me. And I ask him about sample size. And he's got 97 plate appearances against left-handers. So
yeah,
I told Jeff, get out of here. Get out of here with that. But no, Ford's probably going to make this team. One of our listeners, you know, messaged us on X and was like, you know, that Jeff and I are just happy he's going to make the team so that we might get a jersey that fits us right out of the mystery bag at Reds Fest next year. And I was like, that's offensive and accurate. So I don't know what to do with that. But for me, the real problem with Ford, I mean, it's perfectly fine other than he's left-handed. And
yeah,
I think they've overcompensated on the left-handed situation. You know, they need to get a solid right-handed bat somewhere somehow. You know, maybe it's Espinal. I don't know. But I got to go get somebody. And you look at the available free agents. I think Grossman is still out there as a right-handed center field possibility. Tommy Pham, I don't think is signed with San Diego yet, although that has been rumored for a couple weeks now.
Right.
Maybe they were waiting till after the series with the Dodgers was over. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the market is pretty thin out there for remaining guys. So I don't know, but yeah, Ford season.
Yeah, all I know is that we can all be crossing our fingers and rooting for Mike Ford triples because that will be fun to watch.
Hope they got oxygen in the dugout.
Yeah, lots of it. One person that is available, and this is the last thing we'll touch on before getting to a couple quick viewer mail questions, is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter.
Ooh.
Have you been paying attention to this at all?
A little bit. It's pretty interesting. And the commissioner's office, Major League Baseball, is trying so hard to, you know, like Nate Offerman, this thing, you know, that scene in Parks and Rec where Nate's in the chair and the citizen comes in and he just spins the chair to stay away from this person. That is Rob Manfred right now, just spinning the chair, trying to not look at this thing. And I imagine Pete Rose is trying to learn Japanese right now.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna try and learn Japanese so that we can get through this gambling thing. No, this is something. Do I think Shohei at the end of this, we're probably going to find out that Shohei was just a little naive and trusting. And I don't think it's nefarious at all on Shohei's part, but there's going to be some stink on this thing for a while.
Yeah, you might be right, and I think it could end up being a huge, huge deal. What intrigues me the most is that the spokesman comes out and says that the Shohei covered those debts for his interpreter / BFF to a tune of $4.5 million, and then a few hours later, the lawyers get involved, and they change the tune and say, oh, no, Shohei
didn't know
anything about it.
He didn't know. He didn't know.
This is a massive debt. I do not
recall.
Debt.
He Ronald Reagan the hell out of that thing.
Yep.
I do not recall.
So I can't imagine MLB bending over backwards to penalize their number one cash cow, but stay tuned, folks. This is going to be fun. All right.
The good news is Rob Manfred hates baseball. So if ever an opportunity for him to screw baseball, he will. So
it'd be on brand
for him.
This is a belt high fastball down the middle for Rob Manfred. And he's going to knock it out of the park. All right, Steve, let's get to some viewer mail questions and take this thing home. As always, these are actual letters from actual viewers. You too can submit these by going over to patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. We're having a good time over there, and we would love to have you. Similar to the Locked On Discord, also a good time from what I understand, even though Jeff is there sometimes.
That's true.
Can't win them all.
And that's real, Jeff. That's not, you know, it's funny. I kind of wanted to see if Tim could jump on. But I forgot to message him today, because it would have been like, if I had you and Tim, it would be like I ordered a podcast from Wish and selected Dotson and Carr. And I select Dotson and Carr, and then this is what I get. I get this Dotson and Wish Carr, which is Tim Daniels. So it would have been hilarious.
It's like Instacart when you order something, but they don't have it in stock. So the shopper picks the thing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get you back on here soon whenever you're available. People that don't know, Steven's over in Hawaii filming these episodes, and we'll get Tim on here and have a good old time. All right, so our first question comes from friend of our show, also a friend of your show, Joey Gaditza. He says, hey, Nate. Hey, Steve. Love Locked On, Steve. All I have to say is WTF is going on. Why does it always seem the Reds have more injuries than other teams? It's frustrating indeed. You want to take this one first?
All right, so the Reds do have a high number of injuries. So this from the Associated Press in 2023. The San Francisco Giants had the most players appear on the injured list. Now, that's not individual players. That's just a player going on the injured list. So it could be the same guy three times, but they had 46. Next highest was the LA Angels with 42. Then you get the Minnesota Twins with 39. And then the Reds and the Yankees were tied for fourth at 38. So they do have a high percentage of injuries. And I do recall that a few years back, the Reds completely overhauled the training staff, and there was a lot of dissatisfaction with what's going on, and it hasn't gotten any better. So someone needs to take a look at this. I don't know. And being in the medical field myself, I'm reluctant to point fingers at the training staff, because people are going to get hurt. You're talking about a percentage of population that is pushing themselves to the very extreme max every single day. Sometimes there's just not a lot you can do about that. But where my problem comes in is we keep hearing it's just precautionary. We keep hearing he's only going to be out a day. We're not even going to put him on the injured list. We'll just play shorthanded because he's going to be back in a couple days.
6 weeks later,
we're going to have to put that guy on the injured list because he's had a setback. You know, I think there has been a breakdown in the way the Reds have handled the injuries. I don't know that they have an unfair share of injuries, but there is definitely a breakdown on how they've been handling it and how they've been trying to adjust to it.
Yeah, I agree completely. You want to have your players back. David Bell, you want to have your players back. But there's a difference between supporting your clubhouse and just saying, hey, we don't know yet. We're going to have some more tests run tomorrow. We'll let you know as soon as we do. That's it. None of this, oh, it's just soreness. You know, if he had to play a game, he could play. We just set him out as a precautionary measure. So, I don't know if they have that. Last year had more than most teams. I think right now it feels particularly impactful because of the caliber of players that are going out for the Reds.
We pay more attention, right? I mean, do you know how many injuries the Pittsburgh Pirates have had this year? Do you know how many injuries the Texas Rangers have had? We don't know because we're not looking every day.
Yeah, exactly. But,
you know, we're looking 10 times a day for the Cincinnati Reds. So it just feels it's more personal.
Yeah, 100%. But it seems to me like if they had these issues in the past, overhaul their training staff and have them again, it may be a simple solution. We got to figure out how to get rid of the Castellini curse. Hashtag Castellini curse.
Here we go.
All right. Next question comes from James Urban. He says, bad luck? No, this team will win 100 games. Get that negativity crap out of here. I won't have it. The Reds are the greatest team in baseball. Bring it on 2024. I love it. James Urban, pump it into my veins. I don't agree with you, but I love to hear it. I love to see it. And I want everybody to bring that energy to Cincinnati on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll have what he's having. I hope to run into this guy down at the banks on Thursday. There's a lot of interest. 100 games? Yeah, they weren't going to win 100 games before everybody got hurt. This might have been a 90-win ball club before everybody got hurt. But I think they're over-under. Last time I looked was around 81.5. They could still hit the over on that. They could still win 85 games. And that's all it's going to take to win this division. You know, like I was saying earlier, this is the division to be in right now if you're a banged-up ball club. So, 85 wins. That's kind of, I think, the sweet spot.
Yeah, you're probably right. But James, whenever they do win 100 games, I'm looking forward to your I told you so.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nothing can make me happier.
I'll bring him on Locked On just to tell me how wrong I was.
Let's go. Most watched episode ever. All right. Next question comes from Rich Thompson. Dear Nate and Steven, holy spring training injuries. Do you think that the Reds' current roster is capable enough to weather this rash of injuries, or will Nick Crawl be making multiple Crawl calls on the Louisville bat phone to bring up reinforcements, or will he test the trade market? I think we've covered this.
Crawl calls. I like that.
And the Louisville bat phone.
Rich, can we get like, can we bug Nick's phone? That would be kind of fun. Ooh. Like on today's edition of Crawl Calls, you know,
I have a feeling you'd be able to put that, to listen to. Put that on when you're ready to go to sleep. yeah, we've talked about this kind of at length. I don't know that he will. I assume that he is capable at his job. So he's making the calls.
Who we bringing from Louisville? I mean,
Jacob Hurtubise.
If he's making another right? left-hander. If he's making calls to Louisville at any way, shape, or form like he did last year, we're sunk.
Yeah, it's to the bullpen.
There's not ready depth as far as position players go. There's not ready depth down there to slide in and take over if somebody else gets hurt. Outfield wise, yeah, Hurtubise, another lefty though. We talked about Blake Dunn. Mm-hmm. There's just not a lot of people he can call. I would be much more in the lane of he needs to make a call to somebody else and start lining up a trade, start lining up a free agent signing or two, especially in the outfield.
Go get Luis Robert. That's what I say.
Okay.
All right. Last question. Kyle Kapler says, hey, is it me or does it seem like things are starting to spiral a little? No, Kyle, they are done spiraling. They started.
Yeah, they done spiraled. You're right.
Marte news. There is no more spiraling. We have reached as low as this is going to get. It's only positivity from here.
I like that this is the last one. And thanks, Kyle, for this, because it lets us, or it lets me anyway, kind of do what I do, which is end on a positive note. Because
love it.
For me, as bad as it is with the guys that are injured, there are still tons of reasons, even with this lineup, to be excited. It's going to be fun to watch and see how Ellie De La Cruz progresses and can he put it together. And, you know, who's right? These guys, I had a guy in my comment section say that he should start the season at Double A. You're out of your mind.
Get out of here.
He's going to get better. It'll be fun. It's going to be electric to watch him develop. CES has the opportunity to hit between 30 and 40 home runs this year. Mm-hmm. And bat cleanup for this team all year long. He's going to be so much fun to watch. Spencer Steer, so much fun to watch. What Jake Fraley and Will Benson do when right-handers are pitching is going to be fun to watch. This is an exciting team. The starting lineup of this team, fun to watch. And then I talked about the pitching. We don't have to go watch Luke Weaver bullpen days. We don't have to see Luis Sessa or Connor Overton. It's a pretty much fun day, no matter what guy they're running out there every fifth day. This is going to be a fun team to watch. You are going to enjoy whether you're settling in on your recliner or being out at the ballpark. Listen, I live in Hawaii. As you said, Nate, and I'm going to be at 20 games in person this year. I have got a lot of trips booked up already, and I am not looking to cancel any of them. I could still, it's still early enough. I could can't, but I want to see those guys. And there's still tons of reasons to go down to the ballpark, tons of reasons to listen to Say That call games while you're sitting in your living room. This is still a fun and exciting team that can still compete to win the division. I don't talk about the playoffs. That's just too much of a crystal ball thing right now. But this team, as constructed with the injuries, can still win this division. And I don't know about you, but beggars can't be choosers. And I will take whatever kind of division championship win we can get, whether it's by a one game win at the end of the season or they run away with it. I want to win the National League Central, and I will be excited to watch this team do it, no matter how they manage to scrape it together.
Pump it right into my veins. I'm not even going to add anything. That's exactly how I want to end this episode. That's perfect. We are going to cut that out and blast it all over social media. Steve, before we take off, shout out your social, shout out your podcast. Let people know where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. If you're not listening to Locked On Reds already, well, please do.
What are you even
listen
doing?
To us. We want to talk Reds with everybody, and the more the merrier. You can find us on the socials. You can find me at S. Offenbaker with 2 Fs. You can find my co-host, Jeff Carr, at Jeff Carr. That's Jeff with 3 Fs because he went to school in Alabama. Spelling's hard for him. You can find the show at Locked On Reds. No Fs in that. We have a Discord community. Go jump in one of our shows. The link to it's in every single show description. We're covering the Reds Monday through Friday, and then special whenever there's an emergency thing that we need to do. You can hear Jeff a lot on 700 WLW. He jumps on bunches of the shows there. And we're all writing about the Reds at InsideTheReds.com. Me, Jeff, James Rapine, Audie Elmore, Caleb Sisk, doing all the things, covering the Reds each and every day. We love talking Reds. We want to talk Reds with you.
I love it. Steve, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us this evening. And thank you to everyone for listening and supporting the Riverfront. Tell your friends, tell your parents to tell their friends, even though they might not know how to use the internet. I don't know. I don't know how old you are. I also shouldn't be telling you what to do. But if you are going to listen to me, go subscribe, like, do all the things on all the places. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are at Riverfront Cincy on all those platforms. And once again, a huge, huge, huge shout out to our supporters at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. This show would quite literally not be possible without your support. So, Steve, shout out to Adam Dunn. Shout out to Lisa Alberto. Shouts to Wayne Krenchicki and Eli Cash. For Steven Offenbaker and Chris McElvain, this is Nate Dotson saying so long, Cincinnati.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.